how are we as a company making the world better? And if you cannot define that clearly, then why would anybody be excited about joining your company?
Welcome in this new podcast. Bart Kollau, CEO from Aspis ID, joins us today together with CEO Cor Winkler-Prins from ForMe. Aspis ID is the resource provider in identity and access management and enterprise service management resources. And ForMe is the complete enterprise service management platform. In this episode, we're going to talk about the differences between developing stars and superstars. And why do we pay Western salaries in low-income countries? And why is it challenging to work with French? My name is Stefan Leij and I'm founder of Yoast IT. Well, welcome guys at this table in our new head office. I would like to discuss with you today about the resource issues that we have in the market. Or do we have a resource issue in the market, Cor?
I think we do.
Yes?
We certainly do. As you know, I visit quite a few countries every year, meeting with customers. And over the past sort of 18 months, I've been asking everywhere I went, basically all the events that I visited as well. I've been asking everybody, like, do you have a resource problem? Is it hard for you to retain, but also to hire new talent? And the answer is unanimous.
Yes.
It's really funny because I was at the Gartner conference in Barcelona in October, and there one of our Nigerian customers came to us, and as you probably know, Nigeria is experiencing a population explosion. The population is really young on average. There's a significant part that is well educated. So I was expecting the answer of this CIO to be, no problem for us. But he was saying...
Even he
was saying, yes, that's a big problem. You have no idea.
Okay.
And I was like, now, how can that be, right?
Yeah.
So he tells me that apparently in Nigeria, Google, Apple, Amazon, they take out full-page ads in the newspapers and they basically say, hey, would you like to earn a Western salary but stay in Nigeria, work from Nigeria, come join us. That's basically the gist of it. And so he feels like Western companies are basically poaching all his potential candidates. That is a real issue. And it was interesting because before I was in Istanbul, we had a session with 10 CIOs and we were discussing it was kind of a roundtable discussion, and it was super interesting because basically every CIO was asked, okay, what are your main challenges this year? And they were going in different directions, but in the end, every single one ended up with resources. That's my main problem.
Okay, I'm going to interrupt you
because
also interested. Bart, you're saying, do you have the same opinion?
I do. And I don't. I see, of course, you see a big issue in the market. There is a shortage of resources, mainly because there are more jobs than there are people. On the other hand, I think sometimes organizations struggle too much in solving this issue, because I also think that a lot of organizations really look in an old-fashioned way to organizing their labor force, how they treat their colleagues, how they organize their business. Yesterday, I was asked, a potential customer asked me, do you have a professional available which can work for 4 years for us? I said, yes, I have, but I don't do it. Because then this colleague will really get bored if they do the same thing for 4 years. Yeah, but we really pay really well. Yes, you can pay me double, but we don't do it. So I think what I mean, this is an example of if you have really skilled people, you have to listen to them, what they want. If they want more variation in their work, doing more jobs for different customers, you have to treat them in that case very well. And I think to summarize, yes, there is a problem, but I think if we look in more innovative ways in solving the problem, we can come a long way.
That's an interesting one. We'll get back to that, of course, because I'm curious about what the innovation way way is.
Yeah. Pay them very well and treat them well.
Yeah?
Yeah.
But that's also to keep them. So it first starts also with, finding them. And if we look at For Me, do you have issues with finding the right people?
I won't say it's easy, but the answer is no. And the reason why it comes back to what Bart just said. I very much agree, but there's more to it than just paying people well and treating them well. Treating them well, basically, you can see that more broadly, and I think Bart does anyway. It is first of all, respecting them. So if you, for example, have a culture in your company where you need some technical resources, okay, we'll hire a few, we'll just pay them a lot of money, and then we put them in the basement and let them do boring work. And that doesn't work. They will leave. The money is not the main driver for most people. Yeah. So with us, what we do, we first of all, we hire superstars, only superstars. Yeah. And these people, they have a lot of experience and they bring that into our company. We are expected to pay a lot of money for them, but because they are really good, the other people, they can continue to produce. They can deliver at speed. So everything in our company is built to speed. So every week, for example, we do a release. When we hire engineers, we hire top guys, but every week they have the opportunity to put something cool in that release. And then we announce it to the world. The world gets to play with it for a week before it really goes to production. They get feedback, they themselves, the engineers, they get feedback, and it's a continuous cycle. It's really fast, and therefore there is a short amount of time between when they deliver and when they get feedback and when they feel fulfilled. That moment of fulfillment is really important,
but,
I believe.
It's interesting because you say, well, it's not easy, but you can find the superstars. If I look at our company, then, well, also it's not easy, but if we make some noise in the market, then we get the right candidates. Mm-hmm. So my conclusion can be there is no resource issue.
Fair point. And that goes back to Bart's point, because Bart is arguing yes and no. If you try to do it the same way that we did it, let's say 10 years ago. If you approach people and say, okay, here you can sit in this big office building along with 100 other people and you can only do this and you can repeat that for the next 4 years, like Bart says, then nobody's going to be excited. Yeah. And also there has to be a story behind the company itself. What are we doing as a company? What are we contributing to the world? How are we as a company making the world better? And if you cannot define that clearly, then why would anybody be excited about joining your company? That is something that I think a lot of organizations struggle with. If you're an insurance company, for example, some insurance companies are very traditional. And then you look at an insurance company like Vitality in the UK. They send you a Fitbit. They want you to be healthy. It's good for them. They don't have to pay you anything if you become ill or you die. But it's also good for their customers, of course. And that's why people see that as a brand that they can get behind. And that is an additional thing that people are looking for when they're selecting a company to work for.
Is that your? Is do you agree on that, Bart?
Yeah, I agree. I think what we experience is that we we don't hire stars, but we develop stars, because yeah, if you start, we only hire people straight from the from the university. And we developed, we have a couple of principles, and one of the principles is that we don't hire for experience, we hire for potential. We really do a lot of tests and we look if someone is really potential. And then we start developing the people. And what I meant with paying them well, I think it should be hygiene. I mean, everyone says, yeah, money is not important, but also if I go to the cinema with my friends, it's always about salary. So what I mean is that the hygiene, if you come into a restaurant, the toilet must be clean. Yeah. Yeah? So if you work for a company, it must be a good base. But then the personal development, the personal dedication, the attention to give to people. I have to knock on the table. We are now for 6 years in the business and no one left the company in 6 years. No one. So that means that one of the principles is that, yeah, you really focus on authority, and authority can be developed for people. If you trust people and you give them the reason to be trusted and they feel safe in your company, yeah, you can conquer the whole world.
But does that?
And I miss that. I see that also in your company, and also Joost in your Stefan in your company. But I miss that at a lot of companies.
Yeah, I agree. But if we look at the, you work from Athens, Greece, they're highly motivated talents. Yeah. What's the impact of culture there? Because if give some context, if we have a new employee who wants to work with us, well, the first question is, how much money can I make? How many days can I work from home? And do I have to drive very far to my customer? And it's a little bit exaggerated, but that's the culture here.
What I see in Greece is that people are really loyal, and especially young people, they are not, after 2 weeks, they are not at your desk, can I have a higher salary? And to be honest, that's what I sometimes see in the Netherlands, that people are, after a few weeks, already complaining. And Greece is family oriented. They really like to be close to each other. They take care of each other. That's what we also see in the company. People really take care of each other. And also, yes, they like to travel to other countries, but they also like to stick to their families in Greece. And the weather is much better, so why not?
But Cor, you said you were in Istanbul with CIOs or CEOs, and they all said, how can we find the right resources?
No, what they said is we have a problem with resources, hiring and retaining resources. But they thought, or that's what I gathered from them, they were all CIOs actually. Yeah. They thought that it was a typical Turkish problem. And the reason why was that they were saying that our salaries in Turkey are way lower than in the rest of the world. So our people, they can work from home for Western companies and earn a much higher salary. And we see that as well. For example, we have a substantial team in Poland. Yeah, but we don't hire them because they're cheaper. We pay them a Western salary.
Yeah.
Yeah. We hire them because they're really good. And we respect them a lot as team members. What you see is that in certain industries where people are able to be productive from home and not necessarily have to go to the office, the salary levels are becoming more and more equal across the globe.
I also see the same thing, that if you stop saying you have to go to the office, we don't have the obligation to go to the office in our company. Yeah. It's really nice. I was personally struggling a bit sometimes, because I also look a bit at the old fashioned way, like, yeah, you have to be there to meet people. Mm-hmm. But now it's really to meet people and to have some fun and some good times. And they take their own responsibility when they should be there, for example, to accomplish a project together or to learn from each other. And or doing a deep dive or in a new technology or whatever, and that they come together. And if we do the dinners and the drinks.
Yeah. Yes.
But because that's interesting what you just said, and I think also with the the Aspis idea, what you deliver, is that if we look at the Netherlands, then we should, for resources, also look outside our boundaries, because then you say people from Turkey or from Greece will work for us. We'll pay them a Western salary, but it doesn't have to be the highest salary. It's just a good salary. Mm-hmm. And then we have pretty good people. The only thing we need to do is talk English.
Well, that is really helpful.
And I think focus on a really strong identity and culture. And that's a very broad sentence I say now. It's not easy to do, but if you can really develop a strong culture and someone new comes in the company and feels the way you're all treating each other and doing business with each other, then it really can make a difference.
That's what Cor said about what are you as a company, where do you stand for, etc.
Yes,
well, there's more to it, right?
I think, I 200% agree to that. You can even do it without defining it, because I think once you shout it in the market, it's not necessary. You don't need to shout it. You just have to do it or be it.
Yes.
I think if you ask me now, what is your culture? It's really hard for me to say, but I can only say no one left the company in 6 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That means something.
There's a person who I respect very much. It's one of the investors behind for me. He's a VC and a Korean person. He's a wonderful guy. Was starting to talk to me about culture. I rolled my eyes, right? I'm like, that nonsense about culture. But basically what he told me is Cor, I totally agree. Yeah, we don't need to talk about this for very long. Yeah, all you need to make sure of as a CEO is that you do not reward bad behavior. In fact, all you need to do is get rid of the people who behave in a way that you do not tolerate in the company and be consistent.
That's important.
Yeah, and that is all you need to do as a CEO, because as soon as you start tolerating somebody's bad behavior, maybe a salesperson who really brings in a lot of money, but is really not a very nice person, let's say. If you tolerate that person in the company, that sends a signal to the others.
Yeah, that's really important.
And it's absolutely
it's a bad apple in the fruit basket.
Yeah. And it's with everything. So basically, I have fired people simply because, for example, somebody needed some data, needed it by Monday. Somebody worked the whole weekend to provide that data. On Monday, that person didn't even respond. He didn't even pick up the email, didn't do anything with the data. Yeah. That kind of behavior is not tolerated. What you're experiencing, Bart, in Greece, where the team kind of has each other's backs, that's what I care about. Yeah. Also, people who slow down the productivity of others, that is not tolerated either.
We have... my business partner, Ciro, he's an Italian guy, and I learned a lot from him. He's 10 years younger, and I think he's one of the best managers in the world. And he's very tough to people, really tough, on the content. Mm-hmm. And he has a couple of principles. One is that either you can really work, or you can make people work. Everything in between makes it fuzzy. And then he really encourages people to deliver quality, but he helps them. Every day, he coaches them, he's asking questions, what do you need? And then people get better. And of course, we got rid of some people. We said, you're not fitting in the company anymore.
No.
But it's really clear to other people, what are the boundaries? And within that boundaries, they are 200% safe. Yeah. And that's important.
Exactly, that safety, I believe, is something that a lot of organizations also miss. For example, it starts with just making sure that they can rely on the company to pay in time.
Yeah,
that's the very first thing.
In the Netherlands, Stefan, because you are mainly Dutch
oriented
people working. How do you attract new people?
Well, it's the same. It's all about what you said about culture and being it. Because what we say, if people come to us to work for us, if they're on the table, and we're getting in touch with them, then they want to work for us, because it's all about how we do the interview, what we do with the assignments that we do. So, but that's the first part, because you first have to get them in your company, and then keeping them in our company. And that's also about interesting assignments, quality on a higher level, because then you attract the more professional persons, and the other ones can kind of learn from those professionals. So it's interesting for them as well. If I have somebody next to me who's really good in something, then I can learn from that person, and the other way around. So that's what we try to achieve in our team as well, that we have different kind of people with different qualities so that they can learn from each other. But I wanted to go back to, because the word English, I said that with a reason, because what I experience is that a lot of customers of ours are a little bit afraid of having somebody at the table that speaks English, so we need to talk English as well. And specifically in the government, in those, how do you deal with that?
Corona helped us a bit, because we started the company before Corona, and then Corona came in. And before Corona, our Greek colleagues were a lot at customers through Europe. Plane, and even we rented the house in Utrecht for customers in the Netherlands, and so we're flying around. Then Corona came, so I really was thinking, this is a disaster for the company, because we are in IT security, we secure the identities. And then the customer said, then go on online, do it remote. And now everything is remote. I have to say that some companies say, we need English or Dutch speaking people. I said, we can't help you because they don't speak Dutch. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we find a solution with partners like you, Joost, or with other companies where they have Dutch people and we do the work on the background. Mm-hmm. And other customers start to acknowledge that it's not about the face and the language, it's about the solution you deliver, and they adapt to English.
Just to be clear, you not only do identity and access management, but you also do enterprise service management.
Yes.
Just to be clear on
absolutely.
That. But Cor, is this something typically Dutch? Or
No, I think the Dutch are reasonably okay with this. You see the same in Denmark, for example, Sweden. English is typically not a problem. In Germany, however, it's getting better, but it really is a problem. In Spain, in France, my goodness. you really have to have people who speak the local language.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I can speak a little bit of French, but that's not acceptable there.
If they have a resource issue, which we think then they should get over that probably.
Probably, yes. Yeah. But in France, they look at this a little bit differently. they believe that the rest of the world should get over this and learn to speak French.
We see Germany adapting. Very fast, but France
we see
not.
That as well. Exactly. Same experience here. Yeah, but that's why for us as a company, it's so important. From the start, we decided, we need local partners in the different countries because it's not just language, right? And it's also a cultural thing. Yeah. And we do not understand the different cultures as well as a local partner would. Yeah. And the Netherlands, I grew up here. I always thought that the Netherlands lacked culture until you move around the world, and then you see how distinct the Dutch culture is. But you do need organizations that can handle the directness of the Dutch. If you see UK consulting firms coming here, the language is not the issue. It's the culture. They really struggle with the directness.
But what I see as well is that our customers that currently use the resource hub in Athens, I also get security questions. How does that work with security? What where is the data going? Who is seeing the data? On the other end, it's all EU. Yep. So, well, If it's in the Netherlands or Belgium, that shouldn't make a difference.
It should not matter from a legal perspective, as long as you're in the European economic area however it's called. It should all be the same. It should be treated the same.
But still, there is a little bit kind of afraid. Okay, Greece. What's that? Is that you?
And I can understand the hesitance. Yeah. Bart, you are in a better position to probably explain how you get customers more comfortable with that. Do you invite them to Greece, for example?
Yes, we invite them to Greece too. So some customers come to Greece, but we also talk with them and just listen to their objections and try to have a discussion with that. And on the formal side, we do the ISO stuff, etc. Your security policies, etc. So I think, I think what we just discussed, you see the trend that companies are adapting, but not all of them.
Yeah, but Bart raises a good point. The ISO, the SOC 2, those kind of certifications. Yeah. So we submit ourselves to those audits every year.
Yeah.
And then at least we can provide that to our customers. And we expect the same from our providers. Yeah. Then every year we review our providers to make sure that they are able to provide us the necessary certificates. And that kind of, it helps. I never liked these audits, I have to admit. But now I see... In hindsight, it adds a lot of value.
Yeah. It adds a lot of value, Because if you have good internal awareness and people look after each other for securing your laptop or whatever device you're using, it's really good, a good thing.
But to sum up, we're going to the last question. So we all think there is a resource problem, but we also think that that we can solve that. Issue.
We've only touched sort of the human aspect.
Yeah, absolutely.
But obviously, we need to do way more than just that. See, if Bart's company and my company, if we are able to attract good people. Yeah, that's very nice for us, but maybe we're stealing them away from other companies that would have liked to have made use of those resources. But I think fundamentally, what we need to do is focus way more on automation. It's the only way out. Yeah, if you look at what is going on geopolitically right now, China has fallen away. India will probably fall away. Russia, obviously, is long gone. Yeah, so all the options for outsourcing or at least getting cheap, very highly educated talent to work for you, those options have become far less. Yeah. There are far fewer of those options.
Okay. Maybe that's an interesting point. We'll do some bonus time here as well, because somebody needs to build that automation.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of shift in...
In
workforce, in labor, knowledge that you need to have. But you say, okay, those countries a little bit fall away, so outsourcing gets less. But the question is, do you agree on that, Bart? Because I think a lot of people are looking at you in Athens to provide resources.
Yes, that's
can we
correct.
See that as outsourcing? Is that outsourcing or?
I think there's still you have the normal sourcing and the outsourcing, but I don't believe in nearshoring anymore.
No.
Because nearshoring was something before Corona, and now we just work remotely. You don't even have an office anymore.
Agreed.
Yeah. But I think outsourcing is not a bad thing, but it's more about how do you cooperate. I think there's a lot of room in which suppliers and customers can cooperate with each other. There should be some new norms in the in the market. And I see still some customers treating people from the suppliers like us like, you are a supplier, but they should be treated as a colleague.
Yeah, at least as a partner.
And that's, I think there is a lot of room in it. We call it normal work or outsourcing. I don't care a lot.
Yeah, but also what you see is that the work that customers outsource to your organization, for example, Bart, is not like, okay, we have a surface desk. We have 10 FTEs there. Bart, can you do it cheaper for us in Greece? No, what you are trying to do is make them more efficient by automating that work. Yeah. And that is a technological skill.
Yeah.
Yeah. That doesn't have to deal so much with the language barriers. Yeah. You code, basically. You script a lot of this stuff. Essentially making these customers, these organizations, more efficient by automating.
And
I think that is perfect. That is exactly where the demand will be going forward.
That's a good end statement. So we can solve the resource issues with automating. And somebody needs to automate, and then I'm going to look at Bart, mm-hmm. because you can provide resources to make that happen.
That's correct. Okay. Yeah, and we love to do that.
And don't forget, we have to do this. Because if you look at the labor force participation rate, it is declining. The baby boomers are retiring. Yeah. We have to automate. It's the only way out.
Okay. Well, it's a good, sentence as the end of this podcast. I want to thank you both very much for contributing to this podcast.
Pleasure. Thank you, too.
See you next time.
Thank you,
or hear
Stephen.
You next time. Thank you for listening. Do you want to know more about this subject or discuss your challenges with us? Go to joost-it.nl or contact me via LinkedIn.